The Durham Press is famed for the variety, quality, and complexity of its genre-smashing monoprints, portfolios, and large-scale masterpieces of printmaking, as well as its publications and its wildly creative collaborative processes. The exhibit Color and Complexity at the Allentown Art Museum reflects a long, adventurous journey and the inventiveness of the exceptional artists and printmakers that find a home at Durham Press. Founded in 1988 by master printer Jean-Paul Russell and co-owned with partner and wife Anne Marshall, this intentionally known press is tucked away in a small Bucks County town. Perhaps best known for its historic Durham Boat building in the 18th century. That is, until the press came to town. And then the internationally known press was more internationally known. In collaborating with exceptional artists, Durham Press developed unique methods to suit each project, whether it involves creating hundreds of intricately carved and shaped wood blocks or gashing a metal plate with a bulldozer. What? Oh, graphic works on paper created using unusual processes from maggots to Rhodes stripe painting machines. Yes, you heard that right. Color and Complexity, 30 years at Durham Press, showing the Allentown Art Museum right now, celebrates 30 years of innovative and experimental printmaking with a striking special exhibition featuring over 200 works on paper created at the nearby Durham Press. And it continues through May the 3rd. With us today are those creators. And this is WDIY. I forgot to tell you that. WDIY 88.1 Lehigh Valley Public Radio. And you are listening to Lehigh Valley Art Salon. And we chat today with Ann Marshall and J.P. Russell, the owners, creators, and extraordinary artists of the Durham Press, an innovative fine arts press operating in Bucks County for more than three decades. Welcome, Ann. Welcome, J.P.
Hi.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's wonderful to have you guys with us today. Thank you. We were talking a little bit before the show. The exhibit has opened at the Allentown Art Museum. It's gorgeous, gorgeous show. If you haven't seen it, you really need to get there. Could we talk a little bit about, maybe for our listeners, a little quick backstory on Durham Press, how it came to be and why, and perhaps how it came to be at the Allentown Art Museum?
So I grew up in New Hope, Pennsylvania, and graduated high school in 1984, and there I had been working during school for a gentleman named Rupert Smith, who was Andy Warhol's printer. And I wasn't prepared to go to college, and so I asked him if I could work for him in New York, and he said yes, and so I took the bus in and started working in New York City, primarily making Warhol's prints and paintings. And I did that for about 5 years, and some things changed, and I wanted to start my own business. And so I started looking for different pieces of real estate. I considered New York and then ultimately wanted to move to the country and do it somewhere between New Hope and Easton, Pennsylvania. And so after a long search looking for real estate, I came upon this old large schoolhouse. And that's sort of how the location came.
And so you have a bit of a getaway, a little bit of a bucolic retreat for the artist. But from the images I've seen, from the materials I was looking at today, the interior, the huge presses, the equipment, the space is fabulous and not quite a schoolhouse anymore in some ways, but in other ways, yes.
Well, the building, and because of the schoolrooms, it provided high ceilings, lots of light, and, you know, four or five large spaces to set up shop in. And originally, we lived there, and the studio was in one half, and then eventually the press took over most of the rest of the building. And so I had been working for about 2-3 years, primarily on my own, with some people helping, working and developing the press and working with artists. And then I had met my now wife, Anne Marshall, in New York City, and she was working in film production and slowly lured her to Pennsylvania. And I think she could better explain sort of her history of...
Hi. Yeah. So, yes, I basically, just to give my quick little take on, or how I stepped into it. So I had a history of, my interest in art came actually from my family. I grew up, my dad was an antiquarian book dealer. We lived over a store in Toronto in my high school years and university years. We lived over a store in the gallery area of Toronto. It was an antiquarian horticultural bookstore, but my dad also collected incredible books on color. They collected German Expressionist prints. They traveled a lot. On a little money, my parents managed to expose me to incredible art. And then I also happened to grow up in a community where a lot of the kids were also sons and daughters of famous, gallerists and dealers, and all the big contemporary art galleries were in my neighborhood. So I spent a lot of time around artists. And eventually, after I graduated college, I dabbled around in news and television production and ended up working in television production in New York. And a lot of the people I worked with were artists and doing amazing things. And I met JP, and when I went out to visit him the first time, and I was told he was this young guy with a little schoolhouse, but it was far from a little schoolhouse. It was an incredible facility already. It was this gorgeous space, 8,000 square feet, and incredible projects already underway. And I was like, what can I do to help? And all my skill sets seemed to match perfectly to help the next step. Mm-hmm. So, beautiful area.
I was going to say, in that sense, so you go, you find this beautiful space in a beautiful setting. And for what reason? What was Durham Press going to be that was being served already? Why did there need to be a Durham Press? What was the vision there?
Well, with my experience in New York and learning about printmaking and printing and print shops and how all these different systems works, where there's a publisher and a printer and there's an artist, and sometimes all operating separately and sometimes operating together. And the model of them operating together was the most interesting to me, and that's what I wanted to set up. And I felt it would be difficult to get any real scale going in New York City, considering rent and money and all that stuff. So I thought by moving to the country, I would be able to find more space for less money to set up something a little bit more ambitious, based on models that I had seen and, thought that were interesting.
And the artists that arrive there, I mean, artists come to Durham Press, it seems, now, again, as an outsider, a layperson, it seems to come, they come to challenge themselves, to see how you can help them expand their voice, their techniques, what they're doing with their work, and often new to printmaking as part of their own tool set.
Yeah, I mean, JP loves making things. So basically, I think he always went into it enjoying the collaborative process of working with an artist, especially working with artists who were already very established. And most artists, the artists we work with are not printmakers. They're sculptors, they're painters, they're conceptual artists. And they come to him because they want to make something in print and they want to explore a different aspect of their art. And often when you're exploring how to make a print or you're making a print, you have to look at things in discrete elements in a very different way than you would building on a painting. And so for a lot of artists, it's become sort of a process they enjoy almost regularly, coming to break down their artwork and make a print series or experiment with different things. We also have so much equipment there that, most artists can't have in their own studios. So that's why they generally want to come, because they want to expand their vision. They also want to expand their market, because we offer a whole nother market to them as well, the print collector market.
And so in a sense, it's for the artist, for the work, it's a laboratory in many ways.
Exactly.
And what I hadn't been as aware of, that we were talking a little bit before we came on the air, and then once has explored what can the printmaking processes and techniques and all this can do for their work, that the publication end is so important, which hadn't been as clear to me, that the fact that you folks can offer, that you can publish, and that you're putting the work out there is connecting them in a way that's exciting for them.
Yeah, I mean, when I started working with artists, I thought that the primary thing was to, you know, make the work, and most of the energy and effort and the importance was simply just in the making of the work. And it didn't take long to realize that what I thought was 90% of the effort and 10% would be somehow just selling it sort of almost can reverse itself depending on the project and who you're working with and how to get it out there. It's equally as important and what you're making. And especially since you're going into it with a really open mind, at least the way that we approach most projects that we do, sometimes there's nothing defined. And so an artist is coming, they're learning a process, they're learning to work with people if they don't work with a lot of people in their studio, which is also can be challenging for certain artists who work mostly alone. There can be a certain sort of pressure, and then, you know, finding sort of a path that they can feel comfortable with and also do something that they're not doing. That's important to most artists who are working professionally, is not to just go to a different place and do exactly what it is they do in their own studio. And so a place like Durham Press is also, we're trying to do that. We're trying to find, okay, how can we make something that people will recognize as theirs, but we're not just trying to make a version of what they already make. Printmaking is different than painting. It's different than sculpture. It's different than everything. So you want to use attributes that printmaking has and exploit them and weave them back into their work.
So something else you had said really struck me, that it's making art using printmaking techniques, but it's not just recording the work that's already been done or publishing a reproduction or any of that. It's
I'll say something about that. I happen to be on this board, and it's called the International Fine Print Dealers Association, and we represent dealers, old masters, through to contemporary publishers like us. And one of the things we're always trying to define is what is an original print. And what we come closer and closer to is it was an artwork with the intention to be a print. It's not something you reproduce from an artist. So it could be made with printmaking techniques, you know, but it's just a piece of an artwork just the same. It's just made in multiple, because when you see what goes into making prints, you'll see that it would be crazy what you'd have to charge for one. And that's something that's really exciting, I would say, over at the Allentown Art Museum, is that they did show a lot of process. There's some great films and slideshows that you can watch looking at how the artists make their work, and the variety of prints that the curator Elaine Mialakis chose is really wonderful, to see the different kinds of things you can do with printmaking.
I think that was one of the things that really bowled me over when I saw what was on exhibit. Incredible diversity, incredibly different styles and feels, from small pieces to enormous floor-to-ceiling pieces, different ways of telling the stories, different ways of exhibiting. It's just, it was unexpected to me. It was really eye-opening and very exciting.
That's nice. Yeah. The other thing I need to say is that these artists that are in the show are incredible artists, and they're worth seeing just to see something of theirs.
When we come back, and we're going to take a break in a moment, we want to really know more about the unique methods to suit each project. I mentioned something in the very beginning about the gashing a metal plate with a bulldozer and a road stripe painting machine. Now, they're unusual and unique and very creative, so maybe we can talk about that as we come back.
We'll also talk a little bit about the programming that will be accompanying the exhibit as well.
Oh, absolutely. And I would like to show people on the radio dial one of the paintings, so just stay tuned for that. More about the collaborative efforts, the exhibits, the adventures, after this salient message. We'll be right back.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
This is Lehigh Valley Art Salon, and we're talking with J.P. Russell and his partner and wife, Ann Marshall, on color and complexity at the Allentown Art Museum. They are the owners and creators of the Durham Press in Durham, where, of course, boats are made, or were made, way back in the 18th century. So that's one distinction. The other distinction is, of course, itself, and that is the Durham Press. So welcome back.
And we were talking a little bit before we took the break. We had just kind of segued to the Allentown Art Museum, who, again, it's an enormous show. It's over 200 pieces. The variety is amazing. How did the show, I mean, I know the Art Museum has had a kind of a relationship with the press for a while. Can you talk a little about that?
The museum has been very supportive of us since the very beginning. Peter Bloom who was president a long time ago.
Yeah.
He would just cheer us on, you know, at the time, you know, it was more just supportive, and he bought some Ray Charles White prints from us. Then it was David Brigham, who was really wonderful too and brought people over regularly, and they bought the large, beautiful polyalphabom flower piece that's at the museum. It's in yellows if you go. And then finally, David Mickenberg, who's the one who has come up with the show, has been wonderful and really interested and engaged to get us to do this. And they also bought a Micheline Thomas print from us. We did donate the Chitra Ganesh series that you'll see at the show, so that will be part of the permanent collection of the museum. But basically, they came to us and asked us if we wanted to do a survey show, and it's been a lot of work, but we're really, really super excited about it. So,
and it's already open. It runs through May 3rd?
May 3rd is the final day, and actually, we wanted to note that we're going to have a celebration also at the press that day, so there will be an open house, and I did want to comment, too, that we do take people by appointment to the press, but mostly we have public hours, and they're all on our site if you care to look at them.
I would encourage folks to look at the Durham Press site. It's fascinating, as well as the Allentown Art Museum.org site for upcoming programming in connection with the exhibition. A lot of more information on the exhibition on the Allentown Art Museum site. And again, not only a large amount of pieces, a large amount of real diverse group of artists. You were talking about the Ganesh Collette piece, which is, as I understand, a prints from an illustrated novel, an older 1905 piece.
It was a story written in 1903. It's 1903. Absolutely fabulous. It's called Sultana's Dream, and it was published in India Ladies Journal, and it was written by a woman who was very well off and had been educated, and basically a treatise for you know, the right for women to have education. That was her big mission. But this story is a fantasy about a world run by women. And Chitra, who is Indian descent, had always wanted to retell the story in her illustrations. And it's quite wonderful.
It's fabulous. It cross between almost a cartoon feel illustration and tattoo work or something. It's just gorgeous.
It's pretty great.
And this is a wall full of smaller pieces. And then you can walk into another room, and it's, again, the floor to ceiling pieces that are enormous. One of them, Michael Heiser, would have been one of the earliest artists, I think, that worked with Durham Press.
Yeah, Michael started working with us right from the very beginning. I had been making a print with him at Rupert's shop in New York towards the end of that process, and he just moved right over and started working at Durham Press. And we had been working on some projects at his studio in New York City, developing these sort of strangely dyed, embossed, paper embossed, stapled print things, which I had never really worked in any way. So it was sort of inspiring that he was showing that there were no rules, and that, you know, not everything had to be done with white gloves. And it was a very different approach, and very informative and inspiring for, I think, the overall direction at Durham Press, combined with the experience with making Warhol's paintings, which were large scale, 36 foot long paintings that I was heavily involved in. So we immediately developed this print, which, you know, was 3 by 3 feet, which was then 6 by 3 feet. And then before we know it, we put two prints together, and then we had a 9 foot by 3 foot print that was 4 inches thick and, you know, printed, embossed on a big wooden form that we built, dyed from the back with aniline dye, and then flipped over and silkscreened again on the front.
Mm-hmm. So you're constantly experimenting, especially as we talked about these unique processes of doing please try to
work and
try to in an hour and a half or less. Talk to me about the gashing a metal plate.
This
with
is
a
an earlier piece.
No,
well,
it's
or process
recent.
Now. Oh, it's yeah. recent.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's actually a recent print, an etching, but okay. based on a much earlier drawing from okay. the early 70s, I believe around 71, of a piece he did in Detroit called Dragged Mass, which was this huge right. semi sort of performance right. piece of dragging a 50-ton piece of granite across the museum, the Detroit Institute of Arts mm-hmm. lawn. And it was a drawing that he did of that he always wanted to make a print of. And originally we were actually going to make something very, very similar to the drawing, but then that developed into making these kind of heavy marks that he wanted to make with his hand, and we were going to devise this little tool, which then turned into using, you know, articulating loader to actually weld a needle on the end and scratch the copper plate.
So it's serendipity and
you know
it's
how
experimentation.
That
wow, that's amazing.
Well, we could just quickly explain for the listeners who Michael Heiser is. Michael Heiser is one of the foremost land artists in the country. Obama, on his way out of office, has deemed his great city piece, which is absolutely extraordinary, a national monument. It's in the middle of the desert in Nevada, and it's so beautiful. It's like the pyramids in the desert. His father was a famous archaeologist and
anthropologist.
You know, and so he had spent his life, you know, with these things. But he's in his 70s now and has been very much a part of JP's life. JP spent a lot of time out in the desert working on sculpture, helping him, getting involved. So it's man paradise out there with giant tractors and tools and, you know, amazing yeah. art. It's really incredible.
And do you have a special style or process that you enhance more than others?
Or use more than others, or
with that particular project, or with any?
With any project.
Well, I mean, originally, because of my experience with Warhol, all we did was silkscreen. And through Heiser's insistence, I get one of these hydraulic presses, which I knew really nothing about or even how to use. And somehow an auction came up, and I ended up acquiring this big hydraulic press. And then through that, we developed some etching and also a lot of wood block and relief printing. So originally it was really all silkscreen, and now it's much more diverse and leaves you with an overwhelming amount of options to work with.
One of the things I love most about, well, not most, but one of the things I enjoy at the exhibit is there's a short video. It takes three of the artists and a variety of techniques, watching them make the work, working at Durham Press. Really lovely and fascinating. I mean, again, another reason I really encourage folks, you know, while the exhibit is there at the museum, the docents, you had mentioned too,
yeah,
the tours and the docents, yeah, everything's just top notch.
They've taken such care. The docents have come to the press and had lunch with us and learned, and then I went over and went through every single, you know, process with them, and I really just a wonderful experience with the Allentown Art Museum, and it's a really nice place to go. I encourage everyone to go see it.
If there's any, again, I'm looking at this long list of artists, but if there's anything that you would, what's been the, what do you find for the general public coming to something like the museum, they're coming to the exhibit, what do you want them to take away about printmaking or about these artists? What do you think would surprise them? What do you want to leave them with?
I mean, I think a thing to be thinking about when you're looking at the exhibition is that most of this work, there wasn't even a drawing for. There was no pre-plan. Some of it, maybe, but a lot of it, not. And so you're talking about an artist showing up at a place and developing some of these quite large-scale, complex, multicolored compositions that sometimes are in series or work together. And just kind of put yourself in that place, that they're arriving at a place, not with, you know, this perfect roadmap, you know.
Yeah. And that it's not just kind of coming and continuing to be who they were in another place or another studio or another space with their work being the same and just, we went to Durham for the weekend or...
I mean, some of it, you'll notice the reference, but
right.
some of it's a leap.
Well, this is George and Kate for Lehigh Valley Art Salon at WDIY 88.1, your Lehigh Valley Public Radio. And we've been chatting with J.P. Russell and Ann Marshall, owners and creators of the internationally known Durham Press. Their exhibition, Color and Complexity, 30 Years at the Durham Press, is at the Allentown Art Museum now through May the 3rd. We hope that you get there. Oh, special thanks, too, to Steve Aronson, our technical engineer, for his innovative and artistic adventures in making radio a better place to be. He's best in tonal perception and modulationally perfect. What does that mean?
Wow.
What? Thank you, Uncle Stevie.
You're welcome.
And thank you both, JP and Ann.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.